The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Since yesterday was Tisha B'Av, and on Monday is a day which is the 15th of Av, Chamisha Osa B'Av. Today the 15th of Av is not too well known. We only commemorate it by not saying Tachnun. But it was a very important day. Let's spend some time this evening discussing these subjects. There's a Mishnah in Masechta Tainus, Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis. But the Mishnah states, Omar Rishim Gamliel, Rishim Gamliel said, Lo hoyu yomim tovim liYisrael. There were never such good days to Israel, such holidays to Israel, kechamisha osa ba'ov ukeyema kippurim, like the 15th of Av, or like Yema Kippurim. Shebehen b'nei Yerushalayim yetzis b'kli loven shulin, shelelevayis es mishein lay. And these days, both of these days, the daughters of Yerushalayim used to go out. They used to put on white clothing, and there was a special enactment, a law, that they had to borrow the clothing in order not to embarrass someone who couldn't afford nice clothing. And they would go out on these days and they would dance in circles in the vineyards. And what would they say? They would say, Bachur, Sona einecho urei ma'ata beireloch. They would say, young man, lift up your eyes and see what you choose for yourselves. It was a day of shiduchim, to make matches. Then the Gemara explains, this is what the beautiful ones would say. What were the ones who were not so beautiful? What would they say? They would say, Alti teinecho binoy, teinecho bimishpocha. Don't look at beauty. Look at family. That's what counts. At yichus. That's what those who came from good families would say. And what about those that also didn't come from such royal families? So they would say, Sheker achein vehevel ayefi. Isha yiras Hashem hitisalo. They would say it's not important. Chayin, yefi, beauty is not important. And charm is not important. But the fear of Hashem is important. You must give her from the fruits of her hands. In other words, yiras Hashem and mitzvahs are important. That's what you must look at. Chayinu aimer. And it states, Tse'erno ureno b'nei Siyoin b'melech shlema ba'atera ba'atora shitle imay b'yem chasu nosei b'yem simchas libay. The posuk in Shir HaShirim, go out and see, posuk in Shir HaShirim, go out and see the daughters of Tzion in the melech shlema, and shlema melech, when his mother made a crown for him on the day of his chasana, ubiyayim simchas libay, on the day of his chasana and on the day of the rejoicing of his heart. So the Gemara says, yayim chasunosai zeh matan Torah. This was the day of giving of the Torah, but it doesn't refer to Shavuos, it refers to Yom HaKippurim. Shibay nitna luchas achreinus, because on that day the second tablets were given. And Simchas Libay, the rejoicing of Isar, Zeb Binyan Beis Hamikdash. This is, refers to the building of the Beis Hamikdash, Shibona Bimheir of Yomeinu, which should be rebuilt speedily in our days. Now the Gemara tells us Tano, Mishain Le Isha Nifne Lashom. Someone who didn't have a wife, this is where he was to go on those days. And then the Gemara explains what I explained in the Mishnah. And then the Gemara and the Lamed Amud Beis, and Lamed Amud Beis asks a question. Amar Reb Shimon Gamliel, Lohoy Yomitem Yisrael Kechamish Osebo V'yem HaKippurim, that there were these two great holidays, Bishlom V'yem HaKippurim, we understand why Yom Kippur, Mishum Dis Beislichu Mechila, Yom Shinitna Beiluches Achreinus, we understand why Yom Kippur was such a great holiday. Because it was the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us, and it was the day when he gave the second tablets. Second tablets were given on Yom Kippur. El Tes Vov Di Ov, though, but the 15th of Ov, Mahi, see? What is the 15th of Ov? What day is that? What happened that we should celebrate the 15th of Ov in this manner? So the Gemara. So the Gemara gives a list. Gemara gives a list of six things that took place on the 15th of Av. Omar Yehudam, Omar Yehudam Ashmul, Yehim Shehut Rishvotim Lovei Zeh Bizeh. The first reason is in the Dor HaMidbar, in the generation of the desert, by the Bnei Slofchod, the daughters of Slofchod, the people were not allowed to intermarry from one Shevet to another, from one tribe to another. They were had to marry only from their own Shevet, their own tribe. But this was only for that generation. The following generation, then they could intermarry into other tribes. And when it became permissible was the 15th of Av. So therefore, it was a simcha. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Nachman, Yem Shehut Shevet Binyamin Lovei Bekal. Rav Yosef says in the name of Rav Nachman. Another thing happened on that day. We have a story in the Tanakh about Pilegish Begiva. A woman was killed, and it became a scandal. And it happened by Binyamin, by the tribe of Binyamin. And they refused to prosecute the killer or the killers. So the other Shvatim went up against them to make war against them. And they broke out a war. And many were killed because of it. And because it developed into such a tragedy, the other tribes took a vow that they will not give their daughters over to anyone from Shevet Binyamin. Now the next generation, they permitted this. And this permission took place on the 15th of Av. So that's the second thing that happened. Yem Shehut Shevet Binyamin Lovei Bekal. Omar Rabba Baba Chanoam Verim Yechanan. A third reason. Yem Shekolei Bei Mesei Midbar. It was the day in which the dying during the generation of the desert took place, stopped. Domamar. And it was on that day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu started to speak with a closeness to Moshe Rabbeinu again. And what happened? So Rashi explains, he brings a brayso, the Sanyu. You know, during the on Tishu B'Av, 9th of Av, was when the decree was made that the entire generation of the desert would not go into Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim, the spies, came back Erev Tisha B'Av. And that night they wept. And that night HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the decree that this generation will not go into Eretz Yisrael, but they will wander in the desert for 40 years until the entire generation dies off and their sons will go in. So the Sanyu, Kol Arboim Shonu Shehoye Bamidbar Bechol Erev Tisha B'Av Hoya Kruz Yaitse. So every year of the 40 years, an Erev Tishu B'Av, an announcement would go out in the camp, V'omatzu Lachbor, that everyone was obligated to go and dig a grave. V'yakol echad v'echad yetzi v'chefe le'kever, v'yoshin b'y. And that night, every person dug himself a grave, and he slept in the grave. Shem yom muskerim shiachbor, lest he should die before he digs the grave. And in the morning, another announcement came out through the camp. Let the living separate themselves from the dead. And everyone who had life in him would get up and go out, and he would live for another year. This is what they did every year of the 40 years. In the 40th year, also, they did the same thing. And in the morning, everyone got up alive. And when they saw this, they said, maybe we've made a mistake in the calculation. Maybe today wasn't the ninth of Av. So chazuru v'shochvu b'kivreihem b'leilos ad lil chamish osor. So they went back the next night and slept in their graves again and again until the 15th of Av. Kivin shorosh nishmal alavana b'tes v'av v'leimeis echad mehem. On the 15th of Av, that's the full moon. So there they saw that the moon was full. So they knew that Tisha B'Av already passed. Till then, till before then, they weren't sure whether Tisha B'Av had passed. But once they saw the full moon, so Tisha B'Av had to pass. And not one of them died. So they realize now that the decree of the 40 years has finished. So they made this day Yom Tov. So when was the realization that the decree of the Messiah Midbar, that the generation should die in the desert, when was that realization that it was over, was on the 15th of Av. Till then they weren't sure. But once it was the 15th of Av, then they became sure. And they knew it was over, so they made a big Yom Tov. So this is another reason why this day was a Yom Tov. This was the third reason. Now the Gemara brings a fourth reason. Ulam ayem shebitl hesheya ben ola prusdoyes sheheishim yerovim benavot ala drochim shelo yale Yisrael regel ve'omah le'eze sheyutze yale. There was a king by the name of Hesheya ben Elo. And before him, Yerovim ben Nevot had put sentries, guards, on the roads going to Yerushalayim, not allowing Jews to go up to the Beis Hamikdash on the Regel and the Yom Tov. And Hesheya ben Elo, so when he became the king, so he passed it, he was Mevatel, he annulled Yerovim's decree, and he said, he did away with the sentries. And he said, whoever wants to go up, let him go up. And this took place on Chamish Os above and the 15th of Av. So this was a fourth thing that took place. A fifth. Ramasna said it was the day when the Haruge Beitar were given permission to be buried. What happened there? Beitar was a strong, very, very strong, populated, fortified city in Eretz Yisrael. And during the time of the Romans, this is the Golus that we're in, after they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, they made a siege around Beitar, and the war carried on for a long time, and this was the most difficult wars that the Romans had. Finally, they overcame Beitar, and it was a great tragedy and a great massacre. Many, many, many Jews were killed. States that the rivers were red from the blood. The Romans were so incensed, so angry at the uprising of Klal Yisrael that they made a decree not allowing the dead to be buried. Finally, the decree was annulled, and it was on the 15th of Av. On that day, that they annulled the decree and they allowed that the Jews could bury their dead. So the Hachomim, who were then in Yavne, they made a takona, they made a law that we should say a special brocha, birchas hamazon and benching, giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the dead were given the right to be buried. And this is the bracha of Hateva Meitiv, the fourth bracha in Birkas Hamazon. What's Hateva Meitiv? That's always a double teva. Two good things happen. One is Shalehi Srichu, that they would not, the dead would not rot. That's Hatov. Vahameitiv Shenitin Lekfura. The second goodness was that they were given over for burial. So this is the fifth reason. Rabbi Rav Yosef de Amrit Tavayu, Yem Sheposku Melichreis Eitzin Lemarocho. The sixth thing that would happen on this day was that during the course of the year, because there were many, many sacrifices taking place every day, every week and every month, so there had to be a fire, Eish Tomi, there was always a fire, or many fires burning on the Mizbeach, on the altar. If there had to be a fire, there had to be wood. So there was always a great storehouse full of wood for this purpose. This wood would be chopped and cut during the course of the year. But they would only cut until the 15th of Av. So they would cut from the new season until the 15th of Av. After the 15th of Av, they would stop cutting. So they had to cut all of the wood for the whole year till the 15th of Av. So on that day, they stopped cutting. Why? Because on the 15th of Av in Eretz Yisrael, or in the Northern Hemisphere, this is the peak of the summer. See, Av always comes in August, which is the peak of the summer in the Northern Hemisphere. And the Gemara says that on the till the 15th of Av, the sun becomes hotter and hotter. From the 15th of Av onward, the sun starts to turn around. It starts to lose its intensity. And that's when the nights start to become a little longer and the days a little shorter. And it keeps going like that and going until the winter comes. Winter comes a few months later. So Toshas Keche Shalachama, the sun starts to become weaker. And they would stop cutting because there wasn't allowed to be in the wood any worms. And if the wood was damp, many times you would have worms in it. And this was possible. This would invalidate it for the Mizbeach. So they had to dry it out in the sun. So they would only dry, cut, till the 15th of Av, because then the sun was still very intensive. But after that, as the sun started to weaken, they wouldn't cut anymore. And it was called Tovar, the Gemara says, this day was called Tovar Magel. They would break the axes. See, for months they were cutting, and now they would break the axes. They weren't necessary anymore. Why would they make a simcha? They'd make a simcha because it was a gamra shel mitzvah. Because they had concluded a mitzvah. The aloch is that whenever you conclude a mitzvah, you're supposed to make a simcha. This is why we make the simchas Torah party. Because we're concluding the mitzvah of laying the sefer Torah. This is learned from Shlaima Melech, who made a great simcha when they finished building the Beis HaMikdash. So the same thing here, they completed the simcha of cutting, a mitzvah of cutting a year's supply of wood for the Mizbeach. So they would make a big simcha, and this would be on Chamish Osabov, on the 15th of Av. These are the six reasons that are given. So again, the first reason is that was given is because the Shvatim, the tribes that were not allowed to intermarry with one another in the time of the desert, that was just the first generation. But at the second generation they could, and the day they became permitted was the 15th. A second reason is by Binyamin, the other Shvatim took a vow that they would not give their daughters to the sons of Binyamin. But that was just for that generation. To the next generation they did. So that decree became annulled on the 15th of Av. A third reason is brought that the decree of the desert that for 40 years that generation would die off every Tisha B'Av was realized on the 15th of Av of the 40th year. Because till then they didn't know if it was if the Tisha B'Av had passed or not. The fourth reason was Hoshea ben Elo, annul the decree of Yerovam ben Nevat. He won't allow Klal Yisrael to go up to Yerushalayim for the regel, and he annulled it. So this was the fourth happening. The fifth was that Haruge Beitar Nitin Lakfura, those who were killed in the destruction of Beitar were allowed, the Romans finally permitted them to be buried. And that was on the 15th of Av. And then the sixth thing that happened was, this was the time when they would make the Simcha, because they had finished cutting the wood for the entire year. Now, so we see, this was a very, very great Simcha in Klal Yisrael. It's brought Lohoyu Yomim Tevim. There were no two holidays that the Simcha was so great as the 15th of Av and as Yom Kippur. Now, we can ask, Yom Kippur, we understand it. It was Yom Slichu Mechila and Yom Shenitna by Luchais Achreinus. But here on the 15th of Av, what is the meaning of all of these things that took place? And what is the relevance of all of these things one to another? They don't seem to be related to each other at all, to make this day stand out so much. Second question is, why these 2 days, the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur? What does the 15th of Av have to do with Yom Kippur? We see these 2 days are connected. These 2 days were celebrated in the same fashion, that the Bnei Yerushalayim, all the daughters would go down to the Kromim, to the vineyards, and they would make a dance, states. And Misha Ein Lai Isha Nifna Lashon, and the single men would come down, and they would watch. Second question, what does the 15th have to do with Yom Kippur? And perhaps the third question is, why was it celebrated in such a fashion? Let's see if we can explain this. This same Mishnah in Masechta Tainus, same Mishnah tells us states that the two worst days, these were the two best days, the two worst days were Yud Zayin B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, the 17th of Tammuz and the 9th of Av. Why? So it brings Chamisha Dvorim Iru as Avisena B'Shivos of B'Tammuz. Five things happened on the 17th of Tammuz, and Chamisha on five on Tisha B'Av. The 17th of Tammuz was Nishtabru Aluchais. First thing that happened then was Klal Yisrael went and they served the golden calf. And on that day, Moshe Rabbeinu broke the tablets. Bitl HaTomit. On that day, during the time of the Romans, so it was decreed that they could not make the sacrifice anymore of the Tomit. Hufka Ir. On that day, the city of Yerushalayim that was being sieged was broken through. Sorav Afus Tomus Es HaTorah. One of the Roman generals went and he burnt the Sefer Torah. Behemit Tselem Behechel. And they put up an idol in the Hechel. This is Menashe. So these five tragedies took place on Tisha B'Av, on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. What happened on Tisha B'Av? Nigzer al Aveseinu Shele Yichnas al Ha'oretz. That was the time of the decree of the Meraglim that they would not be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Chorav Abayis B'Rishoyne. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. B'Shniya, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Nilkado Beitar. Beitar was captured. V'Nechresho Ir. And the city was plowed under. So these are the five things that happened on Tisha B'Av. Further we see, Rashi explains to us, how did it come out that the Luchais, the tablets, were given on Yom Kippur? How did it come out that way? We know the first tablets were given on Shavuos, but how did it come out that they were given on Yom Kippur? So Rashi explains to us here also, in the sugya. on Chaf Tes Amud Beis. No, on Lamed Amud Beis. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah on the 6th of Sivan. And he stayed 40 days by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to learn the Torah. The 40th day is when Klal Yisrael expected him back, and he didn't come back in the exact hour that they thought, and they went and they made themselves an idol. And that was the 17th of Tammuz. So on that day when Moshe came down, he broke the tablets. The next day after judging the people, he returned to the mountain to plead for their forgiveness for 40 days. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't listen to them. He wouldn't listen to him. Now the second 40 days was from the 18th of Tammuz till the 29th of Ov. On the 29th of Ov, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go back down, Psol Lecho, make new tablets, come back up on the mountain, stay with me a third 40 days, and this time I'll listen to you. So Moshe went down, hewed out new tablets, came up. This was the Erev Reish Chodesh Elul, the 29th of Ov. And on Reish Chodesh Elul he came back up. And he stayed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a third 40 days. These 40 days culminated on the 10th of Tishrei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened, he forgave, he said, Salachti kidvorecho, and he gave Moshe the new tablets. So on Yom Kippur came Slichu Mechila, forgiveness, and Yom Shenitna by Luchis Hashniya is the second tablets. And then Rashi brings from the Chazal, Mikan, from here we see that this first 40 days that Moshe returned to the mountain after the breaking of the tablets were not days of Rotzai. They were not days when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy to listen. And that's from the 17th of Tammuz till the 29th of Av. The second 40 days that Moshe returned after the Luchais, which was actually the third 40 days, these are Yomim Shel Rotzen. These are days when HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to us. And this is from Reish Chodesh Elul until the 10th of Tishrei till Yom Kippur. So what do we learn from here? We learn that the days of Tammuz and Av are not good days. The tablets were broken. HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't listen to Moshe. So these are not Yomim Shel Rotzen. They're not good days. But the days of Elul and Tishrei, these are very good days. That's the days when HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened. Salachti, he gave Mechila, forgiveness, and he gave the new Luchos. This is why we find Tammuz and Av are not our good days. And Tishrei, Elul and Tishrei are. We also find another period in the year. We know that Adar is a good month. And Nisan. This we know. Adar and Nisan. Purim falls. Pesach. Tevis, we know, is not good. Tevis also, we have one of the Dalet Sumais, one of the four fast days. And tragedies happen there also. The Gemara brings here, in the Sugya, the Gemara brings the Mishnah says, Mishanich Nasav and Maitin B'Simcha. When Av comes, we're supposed to tone down our Simcha because so many great tragedies happened. Jomim Roim. So the Gemara says, Omar Rav Yehuda b'Rei d'Rav Shmuel b'Shilus, Mishmei d'Rav, Kishem Mishanichnas Av Maitin B'Simcha, Kach Mishanichnas Ador Marbim B'Simcha. Just like when it comes to Av, we tone down the Simcha. When it comes to Adar, we bring up the Simcha. And Rashi, interestingly, says not only Adar. He says that's when we start being Mesameach for Adar and for Nisan. Yemei Nisim Hoyu LiYisrael Purim HaPesach. Mishnichnas Adar Marvim B'Simcha doesn't mean that we start to tone up the Simcha for Adar alone. No, but for Nisan also. Carries on all the way through Nisan. And the Gemara says, therefore, Omar Apopi Hilkach Bar Yisrael Dis Leidina Bahadi Nochri. Therefore, if a Jew has a litigation with a non-Jew, in Ov, Lishtamet Mine, the Ov, Dereya Mazle. He should try to get it postponed until after Rov, because it's not a good mazel. It's not a good time for Jews, as we see. And Tosfos brings Megalgalin Chayiv or Liyem Chayiv. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu has to extract an account for someone, he saves it for a time that's worthy of that. So therefore, if he has to extract an account from Klal Yisrael, he saves it for a time that's worthy for that. He saves it for Rov. So therefore, he should postpone it. Then the Gemara says, Limse nafshe ba'ader, the bori mazel. On the other hand, Adar is a good time. If he can schedule it for Adar, it's very good. Because then, Klal Yisrael had a good mazel. Now, why is it do we find that there are some times on the calendar that have become ischazik, that become established to be good times for Klal Yisrael, and there are other times in the calendar that have become ischazik, they become established to be not good times for Klal Yisrael, but rather good times for Esav, for example, say, or for the enemies of Klal Yisrael, or good time. It's become a successful time for evil in the world. Why is it? Mr. Baral explains. He says a principle consistently that everything that's mamutza, something which is in the center and not to the right and not to the left, it's not extreme in any way. We always say that's something which is moderate. Say. No, it's more than moderate. He says that's Kedusha. Kedusha, you'll always find something which is in the center. The minute anything goes to an extreme, deviates from center, be it from to the right or to the left, he says that's Tumah. That's already the keches hatuma, the powers of impurities in the world. But the keches hakedusha, he says, that's always perfectly in the center. And there's a simple reason for that. Why? Because that's your shot. You want something that's straight. You want to draw a straight line. Can't go towards the right or to the left. Many people think it's good to be on the right. Others say it's good to be on the left. Neither's not good. It has to be perfect, down, straight. You ask an artist. Say, ask a Rembrandt how to draw something. He'll tell you it can't be a little this way, it can't be a little that way. It's got to be perfect. Same thing with human body. Right? Can't be a little more, can't be a little less. It has to be perfect. That's what's straight. Straight is always in the center. Anything that's not in the center is crooked. And if it's crooked, it's not straight. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yoshur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perfectly straight. States HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yoshur. And His Torah is Yoshur. Pekudei Hashem Yeshorim. And Klal Yisrael is Yoshur. States that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael was called Yeshurun. Why were they called Yeshurun? Because they're perfectly straight. This is why Yaakov was called Ishtam. Tam means Yoshur. Not to the right and not to the left. But perfect. This is an important principle that he repeats this over hundreds of times. And therefore, all mitzvahs have to be perfectly straight. And all understanding of Torah has to be perfectly straight. Not to the right and not to the left. Anything that is straight in the middle, that's Rei L'Kedusha. That's close to Kedusha. The minute something starts to deviate towards the extremes, that's close to Tumah. Now he says, just like we find this in everything that's physical, we find this in time also, in this money. Because this money are also physical. Why is time physical? Because what is time? Time is the calculation of the movement of the earth in comparison, in relationship to the sun. When we tell time, we are calculating the movement. we're calculating the movement of physical entities. And when the closeness of the earth to the sun become closer, so then now the sun has influences over the earth, becomes hotter. When it becomes further away, it becomes colder. When they're perfect, in perfect relationship, then there's a perfect amount of heat, and the same thing with day and night. When the earth and the sun move apart, so then you have less light and more darkness. So your nights are longer and your days are shorter. When the earth and the sun move closer together, then you have longer days, more light and less darkness, and shorter nights. When they're exactly mamutsa, exactly in the middle, then your heat and cold is moderate, and the length of the day is exactly the same as the length of the night. So you have the same in the movement of the sun in relationship to the moon. Therefore, the two times when the sun and the moon, excuse me, the sun and the earth are at a midpoint would be your springtime and your fall. Spring is Nishan, that's Adar and Nishan. And your fall, this is Tishrei, the months of Elon Tishrei. Fact is, and this is why we have Pesach falls as Manu Oviv, that's on the 15th of Nisan, and on Tishrei we have Sukkot. So because of that, those months are more prone to Dvorim Kadeshim, to more sanctified things. But when the earth and the sun start to come too close, or come too far away, and no longer do you have your perfection in the length of the day and the night, either the night is much longer than the day, or the day is much longer than the night, and the same thing with the seasons, with the heat, it's either too cold or too hot. And this is in Tevis, in the northern hemisphere. Tevis comes in January, which is the strength of the winter. And Tammuz and Av comes in July, August, which are the strength of the summer. So those are the times which are prone for keches ha-tuma, for the powers of impurity in the world. And therefore, tuma is misgaber. Avodah zarah, idolatry, becomes stronger in the world. And these are the times of also of such nations, evil nations like Esav. So therefore, the Gemara tells us, be careful, see, if you have a litigation with Esav on their time, try to postpone it, because his mazel is better than the mazel of Israel. If it's an Adar or Nisan, then it's very good, see, or Elo or Tishrei. So this explains to us the Zmanim. And in these times, therefore, Klal Yisrael has a better mazel, especially Klal Yisrael. Why? Because Yisrael's Nikra Yeshurim. See, they're the Am which is called perfectly in the middle. So these times fit them better. And in these times also, is Gabe the Keches HaKedusha, the powers of sanctity are stronger, and they can come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in these times. So therefore there are times of Simcha, there are times of Yom Tov, there are times of Aliyas HaRegel to go up to Yerushalayim to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are times of Rotzeh, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to listen to Klal Yisrael because of the closeness. Dirshu Hashem b'imotzo, that you should seek HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's close, and this refers to the days of Tishrei. That's why the days which took place from from the 17th of Tabus until the 29th of Av, Moshe's tefillahs were ineffective. He couldn't penetrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was too far away. They were yomim she'enum shel rotzen. But what took place from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened. Yomim shel rotzen. Now, now, let's examine the Gemara. The Gemara gave us five things historically that took place on the 15th of Av. Five historical events, and then one that would take place every year, when they would culminate in the cutting of the wood for the Mizbeach. What relationship does each of these five things have with each other? If we look at the Gemara, we see that each one involved in a decree which was made and was annulled on the 15th of Av. For example, it states, Yem Shehut Rishvotim Lovei Zeh B'Zeh. There was a decree. Hashem said that the Shvotim, the tribes, are not allowed to intermarry with each other. On the 15th of Av, this decree was withdrawn and they were allowed to. The second case states that the people made a vow that they would not give their daughters to be Binyamin. On this day, they annulled the vow. And Binyamin was allowed to marry into with the rest of the tribes. This happened years later. The third case, Kolabe Mesei Amidbor. There was a decree that all of the generations in the desert would die during the course of 40 years on Tisha B'Av. On the 15th of Av, it became clear that the decree was withdrawn. That was the third case. The fourth case, there was a decree by Yerovam ben Nevat that no Jews were allowed to go up to Yerushalayim for the Yom Tovim, and he placed sentries on the roads, and Hoshea withdrew it. He annulled this decree. That's the fourth case. The fifth case is the Romans, after the downfall of Beitar, they decreed that no Jew could be buried. On the 15th of Av, they annulled it. Nit lekfura, they were allowed to be buried. So we see that on all of these five cases, there was nothing actually good that was given to Klal Yisrael, but rather the withdrawal of a decree which was bad for them. There was a decree that they couldn't marry. There was a decree that Shevet Binyamin could not marry. There was a decree that they could not go up to. There was the decree that they were to die in the desert. There was the decree that they were not able to go up to Yerushalayim. There was the decree that the dead would not be able to be buried. So and the decrees were annulled and withdrawn on this day. So it wasn't that anything positive was given to Klal Yisrael, but rather the Gezeira Ro, the evil decree, was withdrawn. Now, how can it be five times in history a major Gezeira Ro, a major evil decree, is withdrawn, and each time historically it happens on the same day? Can't be coincidence. If it happens once, it happens twice, but five times. How can it be? So the Chazal saw there must be something in the day. There must be something in the day that gives influence that a Gezal Din, which is Ro'ah, should be withdrawn, should be annulled. Now, the days of Tammuz and Av, we say those were days which were not good for Klal Yisrael. Why? Because these were the extremities of the season. The northern hemisphere, here it's also the extremity, but it's just the opposite extreme. Here it's the shortest day and the longest night. It's winter. In the northern hemisphere, it's the longest days and the shortest nights. So there was an extreme that the sun and the earth came very close together, out of proportion. And this is why you have your hottest days and you have your longest nights. Excuse me, your hottest days and your longest days. This is what was taking place in Tammuz and in Av. Now in Elul and in Tishrei, the world starts to regain its moderation, where the closeness of the sun and earth start to separate. They go further away. During Elul, the nights and the days become more even, and the heat becomes more moderate, and the same in Tishrei, until they become exactly even. See, exactly even. The day and the night, and they hit that perfection. So in Tammuz and Av, they go away to the extremities, and in Elul and Tishrei, they start coming back to the center. They do not reach center or close to center until Elul and Tishrei. But when is the turning point? When is the turning point? Tammuz and in Av, they keep going further and further away, the earth and the sun from each other. They keep going further and further to the extreme, every day more. Every day, the day becomes longer, the night becomes shorter. The heat becomes more intense. In Elul and in Tishrei, they return towards center. But when is the turning point? When do they stop furthering themselves from each other towards the extremities? And this stops, and now there's a turnaround, when they start heading back towards center. The Gemara tells us that's the 15th of Av. And that's the sixth point that the Gemara brings. It says, on that day, another thing that took place on the 15th of Av is that they stopped cutting wood for the Mizbeach. They would cut the whole year until the 15th of Av. See, the whole summer until the 15th of Av. But after that, they would stop cutting. Why? Shetashash keichai shelachama, because on the 15th of Av is the first day when the sun, the intensity of the sun starts to weaken, and Rashi brings, and it's the first day now when the day starts to become, instead of growing longer, stops to grow longer and becomes just a trifle shorter, and the night, instead of growing shorter, stops growing shorter and becomes a trifle longer. And since the heat of the sun becomes weakened, so therefore they were afraid that after they would cut the wood, if it would be damp, and there might be worms in the wood, and they would dry it out in the sun, and the sun has become weaker, so after that time the sun might not dry it out completely, and if there's any worms in the wood, this passels it, this invalidates it for the marocha, for the mizbeach, so therefore they stopped cutting. So we see that the 15th of Av is the turnaround point. Till then the world is going to an extreme. And on the 15th of Av it stops. And then it starts to head back toward center. Now, a good zman b'peil, a good time in reality it's not, because it's still at the extremities. So you have to wait till Elul and Tishrei. But at the same time, the movement towards the extremities has stopped. And now it turns around towards more perfection and sanity. And this is in the physical world, but this is in all of the worlds, because all of the worlds are one. Therefore, the turning around point from the motivation towards the extremes to start to head back to a more perfection and normalization, that's at the point of 15th of Av. This is why the Gemara says that we will, on the 15th of Av, we do not find great events of Kedusha like we'll find in Tishrei. We won't find a Rosh Hashanah, we won't find a Yom Kippur, we won't find a Sukkot, because still it's not in the center, it's to the extremes. But on the other hand, we find a great weakening in the power of Avodah Zarah, idolatry, and in the power of Ra, of evil in the world. We find a great weakening. Till then there's an isgabrus, till then there's a strengthening, because we're heading towards extremities. But here the world stops heading towards extremities. So we'll find a weakening in all of the keches ha-ra, in all of the evil powers in the world. This is why we'll find a hatoras gzeiros, an annulment of decrees. A gzeira ra that was on Klal Yisrael chas v'sholom. On the 15th of Av, many times it becomes hutra. It lasts till then, and that's all. Because now the world is starting to head back towards a normalization, and this is, and the keches hakedusha start to take over the keches haro. Actually, the Gemara brings a Mishnah in Masechta Avos. That the Mishnah in Masechta Avos says, "Mandala Yosef Osif." There's a time when a person has to start learning more Torah, and when is that? It says from the 15th of onward. So the Gemara says the simple reason is because, when does a person learn? During the day he has to work. So when does he learn? He learns at night. And from the 15th of Av onwards, the nights start to become a little longer than they were the day before. So therefore he has to increase his Torah learning. But a deeper meaning to that means is that the Kedusha of the world starts to increase now. So therefore we find the heter, the annulment of all of these decrees. There was a decree, an evil decree, that Klal Yisrael couldn't marry into each other. There was a decree that Shevet Binyamin, we won't give our sons or our daughters to Shevet Binyamin. There was a decree that all of the generation of the desert will die. And there was a decree that Klal Yisrael couldn't go up to Yerushalayim. And there was a decree that the Haruge Beita, that those who were killed in Beita would not be given burial. And each one of them became annulled on this day. And the Gemara says, and this is tied in to the fact that we make a simcha because they finish cutting the wood on this day, because also for this reason is the sun started to weaken on this day as the earth started to move back more to a normalization, more to a perfection. So this was the time of heter agzeiros, when the decrees would be broken. And no longer will there be an isgabrus, a strengthening of the powers of Ra. Therefore, the Gemara tells us, Chamisha Sabaov was a very great simcha. It was a great simcha. Because till before then, we were living through times when, heaven forbid, there could be a decree of evil on Klal Yisrael, or a decree of mazel of the enemies of Klal Yisrael over Yisrael. And it was Heilechum as Gabir became stronger and stronger. And this was the stoppage. This was the weakening point of it. And things started to turn around. So therefore it became a very great simcha. If there's an evil decree, heaven forbid, on a person, and it becomes hutra, it's time to make a simcha. Actually, the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, brings in Shulchan Aruch that in Sfiras HaEmer, by Sfiras HaEmer, you know that Lag BaEmer is a celebration. We celebrate. Even though we have mourning during the Sfiras HaEmer. But on Lag BaEmer, we make chasnas, and we take haircuts and shave and so forth and so on. Why? Because the Gemara says that the decree that was on the Talmidim by Rabbi Kiva that they should die stopped on Lag BaEmer. So the Gra writes in Shulchan Aruch, so where do we see that if a decree stopped, it's time for a yontif? So he brings this as the source. See, this Gemara is the source. Because here, what was Chabish Oseh Bo'ov? It was Hutra Agzeres. The decrees were stopped. And therefore you see, Chazal made a great simcha. So this is the reason for Chabish Oseh Bo'ov. Now we asked another question. And this is the reason, this is the relevance of all of these reasons together. We asked another question. What was the relevance of Chabish Oseh Bo'ov to Yom Kippur? It says, these two Yom Tovim, and they celebrated them together. The answer to that is that they both work hand in hand. Yom Kippur is the ultimate in the time of perfection. It's the ultimate in the Zmanim, on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was when the world physically is at perfection. It comes during the time of Mamutza, when the days and the nights are exactly even, the 10th of Tishrei. And that was the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very close to Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael. And that was the time when he forgave them. And that was the time, therefore, he gave them the Torah again. He gave them the Luchos HaShniyos. So therefore, Bishlama Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, we understand why it's such a great simcha, because it's Yom Shlichu Mechila Yom Shnit Meluchos HaShniyos. It's the day of Slicho, it's the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the tablets. This was the ultimate. Chamisho Oseh Bo'ov, the 15th of Av, was the Haskolah. It was the beginning. Yom Kippur was the ultimate in the closeness between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the perfection of the times of the world and of the seasons. The 15th of Av was the Haskolah, was the beginning of it. That was the beginning when the world started to turn back. Till then it was going further and further away. And on the 15th of Av, it starts to turn back to come closer. Okay. So that this was the 15th of Av was the Haskolah, the beginning, and Yom Kippur was the ultimate. Now, we ask one further question. How was it celebrated? See, so the Gemara tells us again. This is what we said in the Mishnah. I'll read the Gemara. I read it from the Mishnah before, but I'll read the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Yefifeis, the beautiful ones, Shebehem Maya Emris, what would they say? They would say, Tnu Enechem Leyefi. They would tell the Bachurim, look at beauty. Beauty is what counts. She'eno Isha Ela Leyefi. The main attribute of a woman is beauty. This is what they would say. Mihosi Shebehem Mahu Emris. Those who came from good families, what would they say? And they weren't so beautiful. They said, "Tenu einechem lemishpocha, lefi she'eino isha lebonim." Look better at what kind of family I come from, because the main, the most important part of what you want from a wife is children. So you want them to be from a good family. See? So they would say, "Look at the family." And those who didn't have beauty and they didn't have family, what would they say? They would say, "Kehu mekechem l'shum shemayim." You should take a wife l'shem shemayim. You shouldn't look at beauty. You shouldn't look at ulterior motives. Don't look at beauty, and don't look at family. Look at deeds. Isha yiras Hashem itisalom. The fear of heaven, this is what counts. Ubulvacha truni bezuvim, and you can beautify me. You can buy me beautiful clothing and beautiful jewelry. So this is what they would say, and it states Mishain La Isha Nifna Lashom, someone who didn't have a wife, he would go there on those days. Now, this was a strange way to celebrate the Yom Tovim. This was during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Today we don't find that we celebrate the 15th of Av. As I mentioned, incidentally it comes out on Monday this year, Sunday night Monday. But we don't find that we celebrate the 15th of Av merely by not saying Tachnun. It says Lehoyu, it was. See? Evidently from the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash we haven't celebrated this. And the same thing Yom Kippur, I haven't seen it celebrated in this manner. So evidently this was in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Why was it celebrated in this manner? The simple reason is this was the time of Kiruv Levavos. This was the time when Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu were coming closer. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the middle.
because he's perfectly Yoshua. And Klal Yisrael's in the middle. Any time that there's a deviation to the right or to the left, we're far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And during those other Zmanim, seasonally they deviate. And because of that, or not because, it's just a symptom. All of those seasons therefore are prone. And those seasons are mukhan. They are more, they have a stronger relationship to powers in the world that are far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore the month states that the month of Esav is Ov. That's the Mazel Aryeh, see, the lion. So those seasons have greater attachments to the powers of evil in the world, to powers which are far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it swings the whole world that way. But the other seasons that are mamutza, that are exactly in the middle, that are perfect, so this brings Klal Yisrael in the world back to midpoint, back to Yoshua, so closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why in Ov and in Tammuz we're far from Hashem. It states on Ov, we read in Echos the same philosophy. Our tefillahs were blocked off because we're far from Hashem. In Tishrei it says Dirshu Hashem b'motso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close, so ask him what you want. Those times the world is far. The other times they're close. From the 15th of Ov is when the world stops to further itself and starts to come close. And Yom Kippur is the ultimate of closeness. So it's a kiruv levavos, it's a bringing together of hearts of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore it's celebrated with a bringing together of hearts. It's celebrated by chitud, by weddings. If there's a bringing together of hearts, this is an actus of oneness above, so it has an influence also of a bringing together of hearts in oneness in our world also. Therefore it was a mazel tikashov, it was a good time for weddings, and it was celebrated in this manner. The Gemara concludes, the Gemara says like this, Omer Blazer, the Blazer said, why does the Gemara conclude with this? It seems it has no relevance. No, well, it says just like we celebrated those Yom Tovim, how did we celebrate them? It states, B'neish Yerushalayim, Holchis, the daughters of Yerushalayim would go out and they would dance. They'd make a circle and dance. So the Blazer says there'll be a time when not only on Yom Kippur and the 15th of Ov, but all of the time, the tzaddikim, the righteous, will make a dance with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omer the Blazer, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lasis Mochel the tzaddikim. There's a time when the righteous will make a circle. They'll make a dance with a circle. Behu yeshiv b'nehem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sit in the middle of the circle, and they will dance around. And when is this? B'Gan Eden, in Gan Eden. So again, on this world, the times when the closeness starts and comes to its ultimate are the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. So therefore it was celebrated with a dance. There will be a time, however, when we'll even be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not only two times during the year, but all of the time. And that will be in Gan Eden. And not only will the psulais, will the young daughters dance. The Maral says, what is pshat, the young daughters will dance? He says, what is the dance? This is a dance. Simcha is belev. Rejoicing is in the heart. The dance is when it comes, the simcha is so great that it becomes physical. Actually, the body doesn't want to move. See, the body's still. You take the breath of life out of the body, and it's a daemon, silent. it's a nefesh, the spirit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the body, that's what allows it to talk, that allows it to sing, and that allows it to move. There's one level of talking, there's another level of singing, and then there's another level of dance, of moving. That's when the simcha becomes so great that it comes into movement. In this world, he says, we find the dance mostly associated with young girls. See? They are more closer to dance than anyone else. They're more responsive. In general, physically, women are physically more responsive than men. For example, if you had men and women sitting in a room, and all of a sudden something would... frightening would happen. Who would scream first? The women scream, and a few seconds later, the men look around to see what's happening. their responses are quicker, physically. Especially the young girls. But now the Gemara tells us, lo osi lovi, though, in the world to come, Omer Ablezer, osi da korish bochu lasis mochu la tzadikim. Kodesh Baruch Hu will make a circle with all of the righteous. Behu Yeshiv B'deihem, and he will sit in the middle of Gan Eden. In other words, we won't have to wait for only the 15th of Av in Yom Kippur. V'chol Echad V'echad Mare Be'etzbai, and every person will point to Hashem, Shenemar, and he'll say, V'omar B'yei Ma'hu Hinei Helakenu Zeh Kivinu Lai, V'yeshienu Zeh Hashem Kivinu Lai. On this day, they will say, this is the God which I have waited for. This is the God which I have hoped for. He is the one that will come and bring us Yeshuas. He will save us and bring us salvations. Nogila v'nismecho b'Yeshuasei. Our rejoicing will be in His Yeshua. Now why does the Gemara bring it here? Firstly, because it won't only be on these two dates, and it won't only be with young girls, but it will be everyone, and it will be all of the time, all of the righteous. But secondly, because this is the end of Masechta Tainus. Tainus is what tells us of all of the tzoros. Here we have what happened on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, what happened on Tisha B'Av. So it lightens. It lightens on the 15th of Av. It lightens on Yom Kippur. But ultimately, the great Yeshua, the great salvation, will be Begun Eden. And that's when we will all dance, and Nogila v'nismecho b'Yeshuasei, that's when there'll be the great simcha of the Yeshuas Hashem. Now that the 15th of Av, Tisha B'Av is behind us, and the 15th of Av is just coming up, we are mispalel that all of the Gzeiros Ra'os will be annulled on the 15th of Av, and from here we will come closer and closer to the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we will be Nogila v'nismecho b'Yeshuasei, we will rejoice in His Yeshuas.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.